I want to say welcome to those of you that are heading back to your seats. Welcome to those of you who are watching online. We're glad that you've decided to tune in. Welcome to those of you who are guests this morning or brought a guest or come back. Maybe you haven't been at Heartland for a while and you're back. We're glad that you're here. We want to say just welcome to all of you. And as you came in this morning, you were given an info sheet, and in that there's a communication card. And you're going to need that this morning. First of all, if you will just write your name on it, and we'd love to pray for you. And the way we do that is we take those cards and you'll drop them in the boxes by the doors as you leave, and we will pray for you this week. We won't contact you or anything like that unless you ask us to, and you can indicate that on that card. But you're going to keep that card close, because at the end of the message, I'm going to give you something else to do with it. So just keep it close, and I'll give you some instruction there when we get close to the end of the message this morning. So don't answer out loud, but to start off, here's a question I have. Is, as a kid growing up, did you ever dream of being a rock star? Or maybe, you know, it wasn't a rock star, but did you just dream of being famous? And like millions of people know your name. When I was in middle school, I literally dreamt of being a rock star. Just that's what my dream was. And I took action on it. I learned how to play guitar. I started playing guitar. My best friend and I, we formed a band, a garage band. And, man, we had dreams and aspirations of being this group that you know, sold out arenas, and thousands and millions of people knew our name, and they loved us, and they loved our music. And now as I look back on that and listen back on those days, I think, man, that was delusion of the highest degree. Like, there's no way. I was terrible. Because what I learned was I could kind of play guitar, but I can't sing a lick at all. So there was no way. But I did. I had dreams. And look, these dreams were so real to me that I can remember in middle school and even the early days of high school, and I'm a little bit ashamed to admit this, but this is the truth. I would pretend in my room that I was Kurt Cobain, selling out to millions of people, or Billy Corgan, just singing my heart out to millions of people and fans. And I would, like, you know, you just go on. I could go on and on, but I won't. But I had this dream of being this rock star. Now, for you, you maybe didn't have a dream as a kid of being a rock star like I did. But a lot of us have these childhood dreams of making a difference or being someone famous. And so for you, it might not have been a rock star, but maybe you wanted to be a famous actor like Johnny Depp. Right? You want to be versatile like he is and be able to act. And when you walk down the red carpet, people would scream your name and all kinds of things. Or maybe for you it was, you wanted to, maybe not a rock star, but you wanted to be a singer like Taylor Swift. And, you know, you could sing like Players Gonna Play, Play, Play. And so you just shake it off, all those kinds of things. Or maybe for you it wasn't either one of those, not an actor, filmmaker, or a singer, but maybe you wanted to be a famous athlete like Dak Prescott. You wanted to be a winner like Dak Prescott. Or, you know, maybe not Dak, but maybe like this other guy. I think we got a picture of him too, if we could put that up. You know, maybe you just, I don't know. Maybe that, most of us, that's not our dream. But nonetheless, he's done all right, I suppose. Here's the point. This series that we're starting called Generosity Rockstar, it's not so that we can go back and relive our childhood dreams. But behind every childhood dream is this reality, I think, that no kid wants to just grow up and not make a difference. I think as kids, this idea of like, man, I want to be this and I want to be that, it's because we don't want to just be average as kids. We wanted to be somebody different, somebody who made an impact. Somebody who made a lasting impact. And as a kid, you know, kind of the best way we know how to describe that is, man, I want to be famous, or I want to be wealthy, or I want to be rich. Even today, when you talk to kids and you ask them, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? Most kids tend to say something like a singer or an astronaut or even a teacher. But they want to be people who make a difference in the lives of other people. And so, like I said, while we can't always go back and become rock stars or singers or athletes now, I still think we can capture something of that dream, where we're not just the average, everyday person who is sort of coasting down the stream with everybody else. And I think what the Bible paints as a picture of a Christ follower is someone who takes their faith to another level, who doesn't just look like everybody else and doesn't just act like everybody else, but who goes to the next step and goes to the next level and doesn't just accept life as it is, but actually wants to make something of their life and wants to make an eternal impact in life. And the whole point of this series for the next 4 weeks is I believe when you say, I want to be a generosity rock star, I want to be a generous person with my life, then you can take your faith to the next level and not just be somebody who just sort of is coasting through life, but is somebody who is actually making a difference. However large or even small it may be, you can make a difference and leave an impact. So, with that said, let me talk about what an actual generosity rock star is, as we're going to define it over these next 3 weeks. This is not on your outline, but you can kind of write down the important points if you need to. But we're going to go over them quite a bit over the next 4 weeks. A generosity rock star, there's three components of it, of this person. First, I know my spiritual gift, and we'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. I know that I have a spiritual gift. Secondly, I volunteer to help my church. And then thirdly, I give a percentage of my finances to my church. So, first thing to understand, a generosity rock star is not just a person who gives money to the church. That is an aspect of it, but I wouldn't even say at this point it's not the most important point of it. Because here's the reality that I think some of us, we tend to forget sometimes, is that when it comes to money, and you might not feel like this right now, and I can understand that, but when it comes to money, there's almost always more of it to be made at some point. Like if you don't have it, you can like, I can go work another job, I can go get, there's another payday coming, or something to that effect. There's always more money that you can make. But then there's another resource that I think we can be generous with that we can't make up and we can't get more of it. We have what we have and that's all that we have. And it's our time. Our time. And I think God is not primarily concerned about our finances. I think he is concerned. He tells us to obey him in that, and we'll talk about that in a few weeks. But for today and next week, what I want to focus on is our time. Because our time is something that we cannot recapture. We cannot make it up. These next few minutes will be the only minutes on September 17th, 2017 at 10:57 a.m. that you will ever have. You won't be able to get these moments back. And so they're valuable, they're precious. And what we do with our time will determine what eternity is going to look like for us. And the question we're going to have to ask is, are we going to do something with our time that we have here that's going to last into eternity? Or are we going to spend all of our time on something that is ultimately temporary? Because look, it's like C.S. Lewis said, anything that's not eternal is eternally out of date. It's going to fade. It's going to go away. See, because a lot of times we think, well, the most important thing I have to do is to give my time to make more money. No, that's not the truth. The most important thing I have to do is to give my time to build up what's going to happen for me in eternity. And so that's what this series is about. It's about becoming a generous person. Now, if you're a guest here this morning, we're glad that you're here. And this morning, you're going to get a peek into how we function and work as a church. Here's what I believe. I believe you're sitting among some of the most generous people in all of DeSoto County. They're generous with their time and they're generous with their finances. And what you're experiencing this morning as a guest, whether you've been here before or whether you've been gone and come back for a while whatever's happened and whatever your situation is, this service is our gift to you because you're sitting among some of the most generous people who sacrificially give of their time and sacrificially give of their finances. And this is the picture of the church that we want. And so, how does the Bible talk about this? In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul gives us a picture of the church that is a marvelous picture that I want us to kind of grab hold of today and really sort of look at. Now, to get to where we are in Ephesians chapter 4, just quickly, let me help you understand. Ephesians chapters 1 through 3, they are all about what Jesus has done for you and for me. They are all about the fact that Jesus came, he died in our place, died a death that you and I deserved, and now he is risen and he lives forever, and we can have a relationship with him, and he can be our Lord and Savior, and we can love him and he can love us, and we can experience him in our lives. That's all of chapters 1 through 3. It's what Jesus has done for you. Now what Paul turns it and says, okay, now that you understand what Jesus has done for you, now here is what you're going to go and do and be and live. And so he starts it off right off the bat of how the church is supposed to be a unified body of people, God's people, working together, coming together in unity to see God's kingdom move forward and God's mission move forward. And how exactly does God do this through his people? That's when we get to verse 7 of chapter 4. So let's read this together, and it'll be on the screen. And anytime you see a word in yellow, let's all say that word together, and you guys help me out a little bit. So verse 7, here's what he says. However, he has given each one of us a special, help me out, gift through the generosity of Christ. Verse 8, that is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave, help me out, gifts to his people. The picture that Paul is painting here is that, look, the reality of what Jesus has done for us, when you become a follower of Christ, you are given a gift, what is called a spiritual gift, a way to work and to be someone in God's church, in God's mission, and in God's kingdom. And this is a very particular gift given to you and to every single one of us. You see, because Paul leaves nobody out. If you are a follower of Christ, you have this gift. Now, this gift is not given to you so that you can use it to build yourself up. You see, because Jesus taught that the way people are going to know that you believe that I lived for you, died for you, and now I am living forever for you, the way people are going to know that I am for you is by how you use the gifts that I have given you to serve other people. See, and so Jesus made it very clear. Look, it's not by how much you go to church. Going to church is a fine thing. It's not by how much you pray. Praying is an important thing. It's not even by how much you read your Bible, although that's important as well. All those things are important. But Jesus said, you don't want to know how people are going to know that you love me and are following me? By how you use your gifts that I've given you to treat other people and serve other people. That's how they're going to know. So our big idea that the Apostle Paul is going to talk about here is this, is that I have been given a gift to be a gift to other people. You have been given a gift to be a gift to others. And God has empowered you and put something in your life so that you can be a gift and give that away to other people. He has designed your life and he has designed you and he has given you the personality that you have and he has given you the experiences that you have and he has given you the gift that you have so you can do only something that you can do in the church, in the body of Christ. And you have this gift in order to be a gift to other people. And it's a powerful, wonderful thing. And let me ask you this. Do you feel stuck as a follower of Christ? Do you feel like it's like, man, I'm doing my best and I'm trying and things just like, you know, Jesus and I, we're not always on the same page. Sometimes he feels distant. I don't feel like I'm growing as well as I can. A lot of times what is happening when I'm stuck or when I'm stagnant, when I'm not moving forward in my faith, it's because I've quit using my gift to be a gift to others. And so this morning, I think you're going to get a challenge, and that is, I have been given something. Look, Jesus has empowered you. If you follow him, if he is your Lord, he is your Savior, he has given you something that you can now turn and give to other people to demonstrate that you believe Jesus lived and died and now is living for you again. And what is the point of all of these gifts? Well, the apostle gives it to us down in some later verses. Verse 12 of chapter 4. Let's read these and figure out what the point of all these gifts are. So their responsibility, when he says their responsibility, he's saying everybody in the church. Everybody who's a part of the church, it is our, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And so see, the church is a body, and we are to build each other up, and we're to use our gifts to build one another up, which means if one person is not using their gift, we're not being as built up as we could be. I want you to imagine this morning, you got out of bed, and your right arm said, not today. It just hung there. Or your right leg, and said, nope, not gonna do anything today. And so all morning, you're dragging it around. And you wanna brush your teeth. You need two hands. You got to have the toothbrush and the toothpaste. So you take your arm and you throw it up on the vanity. Because it's decided I'm not going to do anything today. You're going to have to drag me through this. It just doesn't work. And see, and that's the picture that Paul is giving here is that, look, anytime one of us says, I've got nothing to give. I don't have anything to give. Anytime one of us says that, it's like one of our arms just saying, got nothing to offer today. And it's a lie, and I don't want you to believe that, because if you don't use your gift to be a gift to others, I'm telling you, you're missing out on some of the greatest things you will ever see God do in your life. Here's a couple things to keep in mind. Number one, first, there is a huge difference between two statements that I hear a lot. The first statement is, I go to Heartland Church. I'm glad if you say that. And I'm excited that you're here hearing this message this morning. And I hope this message is an encouragement and a bit of a challenge to you to take your faith with Jesus to another level. So I hear that statement, well, I go to Heartland Church. But there is a massive difference between saying that and saying, Heartland is my church. One is attendance, the other is ownership. And so the question I have is which one is you? Which one do you say? Oh, I just go. You see, because the Apostle Paul is challenging us right off the bat that, look, there is more to the Christian life than just an hour on Sunday morning. And if that's all you are giving, you're missing out. You are missing out on unbelievable opportunities to be a gift to other people. You have a gift to be a gift. He continues on. Verse 13, this will continue, this building up will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. We will have Christ's character. We will be a church who's known as people who love Jesus, who live like Jesus. Verse 14, then we will be no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. You know who Paul's talking about here? When you look and you say trick us with lies that are so clever, you know who's called the craftiest and the cleverest of all? Satan himself. And so look, and when we use our gifts to be a gift to others, not only are we building up the church, but we're also fighting against the lies and the work of Satan in every one of our lives. That's amazing that you can be a part of that in another person's life. And this is what God has given you. You have this gift. You have this power to be a gift in someone else's life. And you can do this. You can be a part of it. Verse 15. So instead of falling prey and victim to all these lies and little deceits and these false truths, instead, we will speak the truth in love. Let me help with this verse, because this verse a lot of times gets used incorrectly. Because a lot of times this verse gets used to basically say, I can say whatever I want as long as I say bless your heart afterwards. I can type whatever I want on Facebook as long as I started off with, poor soul, please pray for her. You see, What this verse means is not that I can just be a jerk and as long as I say, well, I'm saying it in love. What's the truth? The truth, remember Jesus called himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. And so when Paul says we speak the truth in love, what he's saying is we talk about Jesus and help each other understand who Jesus is and how he works in our lives. And we do it lovingly. Where people, when they talk with us, man, they hear about Jesus and they walk away encouraged and inspired and built up, not destroyed and torn down. Now, you might have to say hard things, but you can say hard things in a way where people can be encouraged and inspired and challenged in a way. Look, I feel like that's a little bit of what I'm doing this morning. I mean, this is a challenge to say it's not enough just to be here on Sundays. But it's something that we all need to hear and something that we all need to wrestle with. It's a good thing, and we speak the truth in love. Growing, continuing on verse 15, growing in every way more and more like Christ. That's what God wants for your life. He wants you to look more like Jesus, who is the head of his body, the church. So we're all unified under one head, one person, Jesus. And this is important, that Jesus is the true senior pastor of Heartland Church. He's the leader, and all of us together are following him. He continues on, verse 16, he makes the whole body fit together, as each part does its own special work. Look, stop right here. Notice who actually does the work. He makes the body fit together. He does it. What do? We do what we've been asked to do. That's it. And so you, in a way, and we're gonna talk more about this next week, what Paul is saying here is that, look, you do what you know how to do, and then you trust Jesus to do what only he can do. That's all you gotta do. Man, I can't teach kids. I don't know anything about the Bible. Let me ask you this. Can you hug a kid? Can you make eye contact? Can you laugh? You do what only you can do and then trust Jesus to do what he does with those things. We're going to talk about it next week, but let me just give you one example of this. You see, in the feeding of the 5,000, the apostles, they say, these people need something to eat. Jesus says, feed them. We can't feed 5,000 people. Sure we can. And so Jesus says, bring me what you have, which is a lesson in and of itself. And they hand him 5 loaves, 2 fish. Now, you know what the apostles know how to do? They know how to take a loaf of bread, and when Jesus says, give it to that person, okay? They know how to do that. But they don't know how to feed 5,000 people. So Jesus says, look, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to put your hand in the bag, pull out a loaf of bread, and hand it to people. Can you do that? Yep. Yeah, I know how to do that. I've done that my entire life. Great. That's all I want you to do. Put your hand in the bag, pull out a loaf of bread, and hand it to the next person. And they do it. They know how to do that. And then they trust Jesus to do what only he can do, because only Jesus can feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Look. There's things that you know how to do. And you might think, well, there's no place for that in church. I can't do anything. I don't know how to do anything. Yeah, you do. You have a gift to be a gift. And there's something you can do, and God will do the work and do the rest. He continues on. It helps the other parts grow. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And so you have to see this church, Heartland Church itself, it can't be everything that God wants it to be if even one of us decides that's not for me. It just can't. I mean, even your own body, if your finger, your index finger, if your pinky toe decides I'm not going to work today, you can't be everything that God has designed you to be. It just doesn't work that way. And so there is a major challenge here to say, look, I'm going to be somebody who is not just a Sunday morning attender, but I want to be somebody who's making a difference. And I want to use the gift that I have to be a gift to other people. And look, what I want you to understand is there are already hundreds of people doing that in this church. Even maybe probably right now this morning. Right now as we sit here, there are people who have a gift and are being a gift to others. Some of them are back here in the children's area. And they are being a gift by caring for our kids and teaching our kids about what Jesus has done for them. And they're doing that back there so that we can be in here without saying, be quiet, little Johnny, stop, little Johnny, be quiet here. Color on this, play with my phone. Just to, you know, have some sort of peace, if you will. But that's a gift, to be a gift. Let me give you a few examples from our church body of people who have said, look, I might not be able to teach on Sunday mornings. I might not be able to stand on this stage, but I can do something. And then I can trust Jesus to do what only he can do. I have a gift and I can be a gift. One is a lady by the name of Miss Pat, as she's affectionately known around here. And when you came in this morning, I mentioned it a moment ago, you were given an info sheet. And inside that, it had an outline, a communication card, and an envelope. I want you to know, every single week, Ms. Pat comes up here on Thursdays. Every single info sheet that was handed out this morning, she put every piece of paper that's in there in those. And nobody knows because she has a gift and she is a gift to you. Because now you've got the stuff and the information you need for this morning to make this morning profitable for you. Another person that most of you don't know is a gentleman by the name of Bob Gary, who is unable to attend Sunday services anymore because of his health. But he's somebody that you should know. And the reason you should know is that this baptistry over here, that every person we baptize, he built the frame that baptistry sits in. And nobody knows but him and Jesus. And now, you know, 300 people. Because he had a gift. He just decided to be a gift. Not only did he do this, but Heartland Hands back here, most of what is back there, and they've made some changes since then to improve on things, but most of what is back there, he helped build. Another person is Miss Connie, who for as long as I can remember, and I've been at this church since the day it opened, and as long as I can remember, she has worked with fifth and sixth grade girls and has seen hundreds of kids come through her small group in our kids club ministry. And she has made an eternal impact in the lives of those kids. And her counterpart is another gentleman who just moved to Florida by the name of Lou. And who for, like I said, again, as long as I can remember, at least 8 years, taught fifth and sixth grade boys. Now some of you are sitting there saying, 8 years, fifth and sixth grade boys, praise him. Because they stink, and they do, like physically stink, not you know, but they physically stink a lot of times. Man, he loved those kids, he loved those boys, and even my son Thatcher, who is now in ninth grade, can remember his days with Mr. Lou, as he knows him. And all it was Lou said, you know, I can open a Bible, I can open a book, I can read a lesson and do what it tells me to do. And I can love kids like God's called me to. And I'll trust Jesus to do what only he can do because I have a gift to be a gift. And look, those are just a few examples. And I'll give you some more as the weeks go on. But look, you, as God's person, if you are a follower of Christ, you have the same capabilities. You have a gift that God has put in you. You have been empowered to be a gift to God's people and to build up others around you. So how does this, how do I specifically exercise my gift for God? In Ephesians chapter 4, we skipped verse 11. And I did it on purpose because we're going to come back to it right now. Because what Paul does is he says, look, you've got a gift. And then at the end he says, what we just read, to build the church up so that we all mature into being like Christ. And then in the middle, he says, here are five ministries that exist in the church where you can take your gift and work in that ministry and be a gift in that ministry. And so we're going to walk through these, and here's what I believe is going to happen over these next few minutes as we walk through these. You're not going to remember all five of them, and that's okay. But I believe God's Spirit is going to speak to you and is going to tell you that one is yours. That is where you need to use your gift that I have given you to be a gift. And so you don't have to memorize all five of these, but when you sense and when you know God is saying, that's it for you, then you need to make a note of that. So let me read verse 11 to you first, and then we'll walk through these. Paul gives us five ministries. Verse 11, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. And what he's saying is these ministries and these gifts, they happen in all of our lives. First, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors or shepherds, as we'll see here in a minute, and teachers. And what Paul says here is that God gives these gifts, these five ministry areas where all of us, because look, it doesn't single any person out. Because if you go up to verse 7, he says, all of us have been given gifts. And now all of us together use these gifts in these five different ministries of the church. And every church has or should have these ministries, and they're expressed very differently in every church. And that's a good thing. And I'll give you some examples of how all five of them are done here at Heartland Church. So the first one he mentions is apostles. Now that's a word that we don't use very much. You'll hear about Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter. That's not the same thing. This is what we'd call little A apostle. Big A apostle, Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul, those were ones who saw Jesus physically resurrected. Nobody alive today can be a big A apostle, if you will. They're all little A apostles. So what are apostles? Apostles are pioneers of God's kingdom. When you think about the pioneers of old, you think about people who were not afraid to step out into the unknown. They were people who said, so there's a land across the Atlantic. Well, we'll get on a boat and go there. We don't know what to expect. We don't know what can happen. We know it's probably going to be dangerous, and we're not sure what's going to happen once we set on land, but man, we're willing to go. We're willing to go and give it a shot and make it work. And so pioneers, what pioneers do in the church is they extend the gospel into areas where it hasn't gone yet and into contexts where it hasn't gone yet. And so there's areas in our county where the gospel needs to be extended. There's areas in all of our lives where we probably know, man, the gospel needs to be extended, maybe into that family. So it's not only extended into areas where it hasn't gone, pioneers also love to see the truth of Jesus go from one generation to the next. And so they love to take and see the next generation, if you will, come to know the gospel. And they're not afraid of the unknown. A couple of questions. With each ministry, I'm going to have a couple of sort of diagnostic questions where you can, if you answer yes to any of these questions, these two questions under this one, you might be being called to pioneer ministries. First, do I enjoy talking to people who have never heard of Jesus or the gospel before? And you might think, man, we live in America. Everybody's heard the gospel. That's not true. My own story, I never heard the gospel until I was 19 years old. I grew up in the Northwest, and I'll grant you that. I didn't grow up in the South, but I never heard it. I had heard of the church. And look, I'm going to challenge this a little bit here. Even here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, a lot of people know about the church. Not everybody knows about Jesus. And there is a massive difference. We want people to know about Jesus and then get to know his church. A second question is, do I get excited at the unknown? You see, for some of us, myself would be included in this, the unknown gives us the cold sweats. What's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. Oh, my goodness. See, but for others, what does this week look like for you? I don't know. I'll figure it out as I go. That's excitement, and you're thrilled about that. I pray for you. But you are. You might be a pioneer type person who's called to pioneer ministries. A couple of examples of pioneer ministries that we have here at Heartland. One is MC leaders, missional community leaders. Because missional communities, through relationships, take the gospel into areas where it hasn't been yet. And then, as I mentioned before, children and student ministries, going from one generation to the next. A second one Paul mentions are prophets. Now, let me tell you, a prophet is not somebody who tells the future. That's not what a prophet is according to the Bible. A prophet is someone who says, here is what God has said. And so what we call prophets are proclaimers of God's kingdom. They proclaim it. They speak it. And they're not afraid to speak it. Usually when it comes to proclaimers and prophets, they are black and white. There's no gray area. It's this is true, this is false. There's no in between. And they have an ability to look at the culture around them and to be able to say, this is the truth of God to this culture. That's why oftentimes in the Old Testament, you'll see the prophets, the proclaimers, they'll go out into the streets and they'll say, here is what God says for us today. Turn from our wicked ways or whatever have you, the message that they may have. So a couple of questions for these. Do I ask what is true instead of what feels right? So you see, there's a major difference. Because some of us, we love to just say, well, what feels right? And that's called intuition, intuitiveness. And there's nothing wrong with that. It works. But other of us are, I don't care what feels right. I want to know what's true. Who cares what it feels like? Just whatever's true. Those tend to be proclaimers. A second question for people who might be proclaimers. Do I have an ability to discern people's true needs and lovingly correct them to help them follow Scripture in their life? You see, because when we talk to each other and we begin to share what's going on, there are a lot of layers, right, to people's lives. Our lives are complicated, every single one of us. But usually a proclaimer, a prophet, has the ability to cut down to the bone, down to the bare level of what's at the bottom of it all and say, well, here's your problem right here. And here's what God's word says about it. And here's what you need to do. And they can do it lovingly. See, because a lot of times those who are not called to these kind of ministries, who try to do that, the person tends to walk away angry, frustrated, and upset. When a proclaimer of God's word can do it, most often the person walks away encouraged and inspired to follow after what was said. So a couple of ministries that we have, prayer ministry. Man, these people, they pray about God's will for Heartland Church and to see it come to fruition. And then financial counseling. Because look, when you deal with financial counseling, there is a lot of layers. The onion gets peeled back quite a bit. And sometimes someone needs it to be able to go down to the bare bone level and say, here's the truth. Third, Paul mentions evangelists. Evangelists are recruiters of God to God's kingdom. Recruiters of God's kingdom. Now you think about college football today. They have recruiters. And recruiters' jobs are to go out and say, here's what we're doing at our program, and here's why you should be a part of it. Man, we've got this athletic facility. We're expected to have this record. We've got this coach. We've got this going on. You need to come and be a part of this. And that's what recruiters to God's kingdom do. They go out and they're like, man, you should see what God is doing at my church. Not the church I go to, but my church. You should see it. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. So with evangelists, a couple of questions. First, do I think the church should focus more on evangelism? And that might be you. And you might even feel a tension like, man, we don't do enough evangelism around here. Maybe it's because you have that gift and you need it to be a gift and God's calling you into that. Or do I enjoy talking with those who are not yet followers of Christ? Like, that's just your heartbeat. You love it. You're not afraid. Man, you don't worry about it. Are they going to ask a question I don't know the answer to? You're like, I don't care. I just want to talk to them. And if they ask a question I don't know the answer to, I'll say, I don't know. I'll find the answer for you and get it back to you, though. You might be a recruiter. So a couple of ministries that we have, block parties. We do those like over in Horn Lake. We do some in Hernando, all throughout the county at different times. And then outreach events, like when we go over to Snowden Grove on July 4th and just serve the community and talk to people over there and tell them about our church, or when we go down to the A Fair and do things like that. Second or fourth is shepherds or pastors, as Paul says here, shepherds and pastors. Now, this does not mean me, Pastor Chris, Pastor Jeff, and Pastor Caleb. We fill this role, but I think God, we have ministries, and some of you are called to those roles as well. So shepherds nurture and protect. They love to care for people. They love to walk with people through difficult times. They love to help people carry their burdens. I mean, do you find yourself sometimes saying, man, my heart aches for what they're going through? Well, then you might be a shepherd. Now, shepherds sometimes, because they're so loving and so caring, sometimes have the fault of putting themselves in situations that they were never asked to be in. So you got to be careful if you're a shepherd. A couple of questions. Do you enjoy taking care of people's needs? Do you live for that? Secondly, do I enjoy discipling people one-on-one and having conversations and building relationships with people? You just love having friends and building people. Because look, shepherds tend to be those who gain energy by being with others. They're extroverts. Not always, but a lot of the time. And then the last one is teachers. Teachers of God's kingdom. Teachers understand and explain. This is where I am called. I'm not a prophet, but I'm a teacher. And so teachers tend to love to teach, exactly like what I'm doing this morning. We love to help people figure out not only what is true, but how it looks in your life and how you can begin to live it out in your life. And teachers love to take complex ideas and try to boil them down to where we can all say, yeah, I get that. So a couple of questions. First is, do you enjoy teaching? Do you love to teach other people? And look, it might just be one-on-one. It doesn't have to be in front of a crowd. And second, do you feel like you have an ability to take really dense and complex ideas and boil them down to where you can communicate them to other people? Then you might be a teacher. A couple of examples we have are sermon teams and, of course, children and student ministries. Now, like I said, you can't remember all five. I'm not expecting you to remember all five of those. But what I want you to do is, I know God is going to speak to you and say, that one is yours. And so here's what I want to leave you with this morning, and this is your rock star step. Shay and I talked about it, and I've determined that that's cheesy, but that's okay. It's your rock star step, all right? Here's what it is. In what ministry do I need to exercise my gift to be a gift? Where is God calling you? Because you have a gift, and we'll talk more about spiritual gifts next week. There is something you can do. And then you can trust Jesus to do what only he can do. In what ministry, in which one of those five is God calling you? If you don't know what your gift is, at the bottom of your info sheet, I gave you a website called spiritualgifttests.com. Go and take that test. It'll take you about 10 minutes, and it'll tell you what your spiritual gifts are. And then you can look and say, okay, well, I think that works in this ministry. This is where I feel called. And what you need to do is have that. Bring it back with you next week, and we're going to talk more and take this to the next level, if you will. Alrighty. So if you don't know your gift, find your gift and get plugged in. Let me pray for you, and then I want to share some information with you before we go. Father, I do pray that, God, that you would help us to understand our gifts, know our gifts, and, Father, know where you're calling us to get plugged in. And Father, may we all do this not in our own strength, not in our own power, but by the power that Jesus puts in us. And God, I pray we'd be a church who build each other up and who have the character of Jesus. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.